Governor Sean Parnell says he's in favor of letting a citizens' initiative to restore the Alaska Coastal Management Program go to voters. The program, which gave the state and local communities greater input into federal permitting decisions, closed last year after the administration and legislators failed to reach an agreement to reauthorize it. A group calling itself the Alaska Sea Party collected signatures for the initiative, which legislators can preempt by passing substantially similar legislation this session. Parnell says lawmakers had their chance.
My position has been, let the people decide. This has been something that has been worked diligently in these halls. Now our Constitution provides a mechanism by which the people can have their say. It's been certified. I say, let it go to the people.
Technically, the Division of Elections is still reviewing signatures for that initiative, but Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell, whose office oversees elections, said last week that sponsors had collected enough qualified signatures to put the measure on the ballot. Juneau Mayor Bruce Botello is prime sponsor of the initiative and chairman of the Alaska Sea Party. Members of the Alaska Public Offices Commission blasted the legislature yesterday for a bill that would ease the state's electronic campaign disclosure requirement. House Bill 311 exempts candidates who don't have a computer or broadband internet access at home. A Senate amendment would excuse sitting lawmakers from the requirement for as long as they hold office. The bill also delays the electronic disclosure requirement for 1 year until February 2013 and prevents APOC from changing reporting requirements in the middle of an election cycle. The bipartisan Alaska Public Offices Commission was unanimous in its opposition to the legislation. Commissioner Kathleen King, a public member from Anchorage, noted the legislature passed the electronic reporting requirement in 2007 after some lawmakers were ensnared in a federal corruption probe.
That statute committed APOC to develop this filing system, these databases, to collect this information electronically, and legislators have known that this day was coming. And I think the current bill weakens that statute considerably. And in fact, many of those legislators that supported the 2007 amendments support this one. And I just don't think that we should wait until the next political fiasco to amend the statute back.
Legislators have complained that APOC's online reporting system is slow, cumbersome, and not user-friendly. But Republican Commissioner Kenneth Kirk from Anchorage says he doesn't see any significant hurdles for lawmakers to overcome.
Frankly, I have trouble seeing that it's a major imposition on those campaigns.
Anchorage Republican Representatives Craig Johnson and Mike Hawker called in to the meeting from the Capitol to defend House Bill 311. Johnson says it fixes deficiencies in the current statute that could prevent some people from running for office.
I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but 17% of Alaskans have no access to internet. None. And if you go beyond that into the people that have dial-up, that number goes up to almost 20%, 25%. And this is typically the very poor and the people in rural Alaska. And by implementing this policy, you have effectively excluded those people from filing for office.
Commissioners reminded Johnson that the legislature implemented the policy, not the commission. Democratic Commissioner Shirley Dean of Juneau also noted that candidates can apply for a waiver to the electronic reporting requirement and that certain campaigns, including for municipal office in communities of less than 15,000 people, are automatically exempt from the rule.
This bill really does not need to happen because everything in it is covered by our waiver that's currently in regulation.
House Bill 311 was fast-tracked through both chambers of the legislature before the commission could comment on it. APOC Executive Director Paul Dauphiné expressed his staff's concerns at those three committee hearings. The bill appears headed for a conference committee unless the Senate agrees to drop their provision exempting sitting lawmakers from the electronic reporting requirement. The House rejected the Senate amendment on Monday. Governor Sean Parnell says an education funding bill that recently passed the Senate is the ultimate giveaway because it does not require results. Senate Bill 171 increases the base student allocation over the next 3 years. That's the amount the state pays local districts for each student. The governor says he doesn't favor formula increases, but would cover specific one-time needs. During a news conference yesterday, he expressed his message to local districts this way.
Come in and justify your increases. Come in and tell us what you're going to do with this money. I can understand it when you say we have increased heating costs and I can write a check out of the state treasury and the people know what they're getting. They're buying increased heating costs and they're also buying greater instruction in the classroom because the school district doesn't have to pay that increase in heating costs. They're paying for increased instruction in the classroom.
As the House takes up Senate Bill 171, there doesn't appear also to be much support among majority Republicans in the House, although there's no loss of lobbying by school board members from across the state in Juneau this week to push for more money. Juneau School District Superintendent Glenn Gilbrick says a one-time infusion of funds does not resolve the fact that education costs increase each year per student, even if districts hold the line on spending.
It would take a BSA increase of about $84 or $86 just to get to the level we have this year.
The Juneau School District is projecting about $5.8 million in cuts next year, but a hopeful budget committee last night asked Gilbrick to outline his plan for adding back programs and positions if more money comes from the legislature. A revised budget proposal last night proposes restoration of four of the six nurse positions originally designated for reduction. Gilbrick also said that it restores elementary music mini-grants by using activity funds.
This proposal identifies items that would be added back to the budget if additional funds are allocated by the legislature. Those items include adding back cultural paraeducators, elementary specialists, reducing the pupil-teacher ratio, middle school counselors, and the high school drug testing program.
Public testimony will be taken during Tuesday evening's meeting in the Juneau Douglas High School Library, and that will be at 7 o'clock. A new database of precipitation in Alaska will help designers and builders plan for extremes. The Alaska Precipitation Atlas was put together by researchers with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and the University of Alaska Fairbanks Water and Environmental Research Center. The center's Sveta Stufer says the data on how much and how often it rains and snows at various locations reflects decades of additional measurements.
The last atlas was done in 1963, and so it, from 1963 to 2012, it's missing quite a substantial amount of years of data. So what we did, we add this new data and redid the analysis.
Stufer says the new atlas does not show a lot of change for low-elevation locations, but there are major precipitation changes for higher-altitude areas. That's attributed to the addition of many new high-elevation measuring stations in Alaska since the 1960s. Another Water and Environmental Research Center scientist, Doug Kane, says accurate precipitation data is essential for safe design of buildings and other infrastructure.
Engineers, when they design a lot of structures, they have to know what the precipitation is and what the risks are involved in building the structure they're going to build. What would be the intensity or the depth of the precipitation in a, say, either a 24-hour period or a one-hour period, depending on